That seems complicated. I feel like we could probably do something a little more in our own areas of expertise.
Nah.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
So a couple weeks ago, or I guess a month and a half ago, or maybe a year ago, my wife went to Japan, and she came back with some Kit Kats, but they're Japanese Kit Kats, and they're darker, and on the outside, they say in Japanese, adult flavor.
Mm.
And they're Kit Kats for grown-ups. They're a little darker chocolate, and they're really good. Which made me wonder, when you guys were kids, did you get to take to school those cool little snack packs or like a Capri Sun? Just all that those like little cute, cool, processed foods. Was that something that you got to enjoy as children?
Are we talking like chips, like a bag of chips? Or are we talking about a snackables or like a meal in a sealable?
Like an integrated lunch solution?
Right.
I would have just said snackable, but I think Merlin predates snackables by about a decade.
Yeah.
That's true.
They called it childhood enjoyment treats.
They called them sea rations.
And it was served in a hobo stick, like wrapped in a handkerchief.
Here's your bindle. Off to school with you. Covered with coal dust. No, not at all. I'm from a different time and in a different class, I think. I had an Adam 12 lunchbox that with a sandwich, some kind of, maybe a chippy thing, some compulsory fruit, and then you buy a chocolate milk for like 20 cents or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. Adam, how'd you roll? You're from the snackable age. You're from the team Snackwell, right? Snackwell? Sorry, snackable.
Lunchable?
Or Lunchables. I think Snackables was the junior version of the Lunchables, and I predated that by a couple of years. Mostly I was a non-Ziploc baggie full of baby carrots, things I couldn't trade.
You know, that's funny because that's exactly what your testicles feel like today. Ziploc bag full of baby carrots.
You would know. Scott Simpson, what my testicles feel.
I just remember really fetishizing that stuff because I very rarely got to enjoy one of those cool prepackaged snacks or anything like that. And I just think right now, as a grown-up, I could really do for a grown-up version of that, like a little grown-up enjoyment kit with as starters, one of these adult flavored Kit Kats from Japan, but maybe also that you can throw in like a little one of those airline sized bottles of Jack Daniels, just one cigarette. Like that would be a grown up Lunchables, maybe like a very small pornographic magazine, like a Reader's Digest size,
like you get in a box of Cracker Jack.
That's right.
It'd just be like one boob in a cartoon character.
That's right. Those chick publications, those Christian things that you find. Like something that size.
So you get some liquor and a cigarette and a tract. That's not bad.
I don't know.
I think Virgin should have that. When you said that, Scott, the first thing that came to mind, because as you know, we have to discuss Virgin America every week, is when, or like even worse, like if you're on Delta and they bring you that box of pain. That's kind of the failed version of what you're describing, right? You order this one thing and you know that it's going to contain these five things in it, right? But you're looking for something. Yes, along those lines, but instead of salami, it's got titties.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like it's supposedly a tapenade, but it just tastes like olive flavored toothpaste.
I don't think anybody checks that stuff. That's not right.
I don't know. I just would really enjoy just a little. Don't you just remember loving those just little kits of things, miniature versions of things? And I don't think they really adapted that for being grown-ups yet.
100%. I mean, and this is where you get into the Happy Meals and the Fun Meals, and it's crack for kids because you go there and you get the little prize, and it's got the little drink and all that stuff. I totally agree. We had a Burger Chef, because it was the 1930s.
There's more to like at Burger Chef.
You're incredibly better!
And they pioneered this, I think, long before those jackals over at McDonald's. And it had like this box that you opened up, and it made like a diorama, and your drink fit into this little holder. Just to your point about the pack part of this. I mean, really, it's all about the pack.
Right. Right. It is. It's all about the packaging.
Now, you ever send your kid off to one of those stupid kids' birthday parties and they come back with a bag of stuff? Same deal, right? It's all crap, but it's exciting because it's in a bag. So really, you're looking for a bag of something that an adult would like. And it's a little surprise.
A goodie bag, I guess, but you know, I don't want to have to go to the Oscars to get one.
No.
Well, usually an adult goodie bag would be at a conference of some sort, and there's nothing of any value in there, right? It's a lot of stickers and audio cassette tapes for some reason. And like a QR code with an MP3 on it.
It is amazing when you go to a conference, though, and there's like two things that happen. On the one hand, there's people who just keep pumping out the same thing nobody wants, right? Like how many keychains with the name of a company you've never heard of do you need? But then they try to get a little clever with it, and it's kind of like even worse. Oh, it's a Meebo garden hose or whatever. And you're like, what?
Adam, you just invented the saddest possible thing, a QR code with an MP3. It's a great point. Those conference bags, what they do is they capitalize on our instinct to want to take it and enjoy it and open it up and be surprised and excited. But then when you open it up, it's the same level of disappointment you got the 55 times you opened up a Cracker Jack box thinking this time it won't be the tattoo.
Hate the tattoo. You know what's funny is the first South by Southwest I ever went to, one of two, was with you guys. And I remember, you know, and I, you know, I'm an outsider. They're always like, did you get your conference bag? And I'm like, no, I haven't. Thank you. Could you give that to a little boy who needs it? Like, you know, some places like Macworld, they give you like a really good bag. But like everybody goes to South by Southwest, they give you this bag. And it's basically, it's pamphlets and some other things. And what I remember so clearly in the conference hall was they had the presence of mind to be green. And so they'd set up like five giant tables where you could dump out all the stuff in the bag that you didn't want. It was so tragic because there's all these people who'd spent probably $100,000 to be in these bags, and it's just piles of their mini umbrellas and stuff like that.
It just reminds me of Halloween every year at my house growing up because my dad was a dentist, and so you couldn't even see grass because it was covered by the toothbrushes that he had handed out.
Did they stick them in the ground like KKK crosses?
No, there's nothing rude like that. They would just be strewn about.
Oh, that's really sad.
The smartest thing would be for conferences to give you a bag full of stuff that you could bring home to your kids so you don't have to do that.
Mm, wow, bingo. That is a good idea.
Yeah, because otherwise you're that, you know, nobody likes to be that dad that every dad is, which is you're wandering around the gift shop. You know, like, does my kid really need a snow globe with her name on it or like a spoon that says Spokane? You know?
Or what I do, which is, you know, when I go to New York, I end up forgetting to get them a present until I'm back in the San Francisco airport. So they get a Hello Kitty doll that says San Francisco on it. That's actually a great idea. Like useful things, your way to conference, maybe just a list of wholesome sounding things you could say that you're doing when you call your spouse at home.
Maybe you could get somebody to cover for you. Right, so you get your bag, you take it home, you throw out the totes and all of the pamphlets, but maybe somebody offers to agree that you were at church.
Right.
Sponsored by Meebo.
And a condom.
I think so. I think you need a condom.
I think at heart we are still hunter-gatherers, right? And I mean, I am not a big conference goer, but when I've gone there, I lose all of my faith in humanity because you just see these people, the exhibits only people, God bless them, like just wandering from booth to booth looking for what the free thing is there. And they're like sand people. They don't care what it is. You know, it's just it's a USB jack holder. It's like, what? You know, like the last thing I need is everything that I get at a conference. Like, I don't need another rain jacket that's not that good of a rain jacket.
There should
be something there. Obviously, hand sanitizer. Everybody should be giving out hand sanitizer all the time. That's just, there's not even any question about that.
What about, would this sweeten the pot for you if this year you decide just on a whim to go to South by Southwest? You get your goodie bag, you take it back to your room, it's been a long day, and you open it up, and along with the usual assortment of Meebo branded umbrellas and ponchos, there's a little kitty cat.
How little?
little enough.
Oh, I'd enjoy that. I get lonely in a hotel room.
Right?
Yeah, and hungry.
Awkward cake.
Here's the problem. With all advertising, with all due respect, Adam, it's a blunt instrument. It's hard to really target
right.
people
sure.
the way you'd
right.
want. And even if you get down to the point of like saying, we just want to reach, you know, heavy men at conferences, there's still, how do you penetrate, right? And so you want something there, maybe it's going to mix it up a little bit. You could have things to trade.
Like wampum? That's a good idea.
Like wampum, like scrimshaw.
Hardtack?
Yeah, exactly. Rickshaw? It becomes like an existential puzzle. Maybe if you can find four other people with the same piece, you get to split a hooker. Like a nice hooker.
It's a great idea. No, I think kitty cat in a bag. Done. Next.
Let me ask you a question, everybody here. Show of hands quickly. Have you ever felt like managing developers is like herding cats? Open your bag.
I just want to let you know there is a 20% chance that your cat will be dead. It's just the consequence. We decided that we'd be willing to accept that risk, given the fact that the cat would be in the bag for upwards of 17 hours before you realized it was there.
It's like Schrodinger's conference bag. Like, you won't know until you open it up. By then, it's too late. He's already the cat's dead on your umbrella. That's the other thing, is you could introduce the element of risk. Maybe not a bomb. But maybe it's something that's decaying very quickly. Mm-hmm. You better open up the Meebo box. What's Meebo? Why did I say Meebo? What is that? What do they do?
I think they do social...
embeddingness.
Yeah, gamification engineering.
Oh, does that have a social component?
I think it better.
Huh.
Adam, when you were in the industry more, I mean, you're in the industry of video making and video production still, but... In any of your past jobs, did you ever go to like those kinds of conferences, or what are those guys like? Because, you know, Merlin and I and you know kind of the world of tech conferences. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to any of those, like, more?
I've been to a couple of them. You know, they're similar in their trade show style and the layout and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just the toys are bigger and fancier and more expensive, so you get mm-hmm. like a more annoying mm-hmm. class of asshole know-it-all.
Oh, I see.
Would you be interested in attending one of those with me?
Well, I want to attend everything with you. I'd like to okay. be just your plus one in general.
All right.
I guess the reason I asked, I'm just wondering, you know, how similar are conferences? You know, is there something that we could do that would, like, we could set up our booth at any conference, whether it's video?
I wish that I could go to a video tools conference from, like, 1986.
Ooh. Oh,
like,
gosh.
So if we could maybe, like, you know, if somebody would just do all the work of putting together really authentically every, like, down to the period costume and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the language
and the booth yeah. bunnies. It would also have to be appropriate for the time.
Yeah. Feathered hair. Oh, there's maybe like 83. Let's say 82. 82. VHS is just becoming a big, big deal.
I feel like we're going to be rich. That seems like absolutely something you do. I guess you couldn't really sell the thing because it's a powerfully outmoded technology.
Mm-hmm. It's worthless. But you're selling a memory.
It's retro. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, maybe we're called Nostalgics. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I used to call things, right? You could put an X at the end.
Right.
I think there's a huge chance here. I think problem is what you're describing, Adam, the vertical asshole, I mean, I think we need to have a much more horizontal approach. Mm-hmm. We need to have something that you could plug into literally anywhere and it would still be a refreshing and anachronistic breath of air.
Sure. So aerobics equipment, for instance.
Or like laser discs.
Oh, okay. Right. We're staying yeah. in the video family.
Those are both great, though, or some sort of combination of the two. A fitness program that's based on the fitness techniques of 1984. Mm-hmm. Because that, I mean, I remember my mom, like, that was the one concerted exercise right. regimen yeah. that she ever participated in was a, gosh, what was it called? It wasn't jazz. It was pre-jazzercise.
I'm talking about the Jane Fonda workout?
It was that era.
Let's
it was that
get
era.
Physical. Physical.
And it was so adorable. She had a friend over and they went down to the basement, they put the VHS tape in, and then they did, I think it was called the 20-minute workout, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. that was what they did. And they did it for, you know, they did it for almost a week.
Really?
Yeah.
And the tape held up?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think people are always trying to do something refreshing at the conferences, which, you know, I admire. But again, that machine eats it up. If we would have to really come in from the outside and give people something, you know, truly unique. I mean, and again, maybe this is the kind of thing, let's be honest, if we register for this event and we pay for the booth, then we're going to be stuck with the same problem everybody else has. We'd have to go in and I think probably kind of inject ourselves, maybe alongside somebody else's booth. Maybe we could offer to take over while they go to the restroom or something.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that our ROI would be more favorable if we really minimize the I.
Yeah. Or turn the I to an S for stealing. Like you have ROS. You definitely have return on something. People are looking for something different, Scott. I mean, there are so many tired ideas out there. I think people are going to be looking for a place that might have a, you know, a laser disc or your mom. What's she doing right now?
My mom?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so dead.
Yeah.
I should say
20 minutes is the whole workout?
Yeah.
Can you even really work up a good sweat in 20 minutes?
Well, that's, I think that might have been the problem.
Yeah. I didn't want to say anything. You know, a lot of my relatives are dead too.
Hands in a derby.
Hey, you know what? Come to think of it, a lot of people have dead people in their family.
Sure.
Yes, yes.
All right. Just follow me on this. I'm just saying, if you show up there, this is an emotional connection that you could make.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I like this idea. I like the idea of going in, having very little cash outlay by virtue of essentially, I don't want to say parasitically.
No.
Let's say we're kind of the remora eel to another booth's shark. Maybe Adam distracts them.
Like Adam does a fancy dance or something.
Adam does a fancy dance for the 3 days of the conference. that forces all three people who are working that particular booth to look in his direction. And Adam, this is another theme that we always touch on, but your dancing skills are tremendous.
You should see my conference dancing.
What if we dressed Adam up as a booth? So the three of us get exhibits only, right? You go and you register early, right? Yeah. So you don't have to pay for a pass or anything. You go in there. Hey, look at me. I'm just a guy at a conference. But we get some pipe and drape for Adam.
So Adam is like that kid who's the shower in the Karate Kid Halloween party.
That's funny.
That's a great idea.
That was a great costume.
It really
was. It was a great costume.
It's interesting.
Conferences are stupid.
I'm a professional voice actor.
So Adam dresses up as a booth. Merlin, you and I throw in a couple of wireless mics and just kind of... and I guess some mustaches because we're still in 1985. I'm not sure if that's still an element of this.
This is really just... We're just at the whiteboard stage at this point.
Right.
It's funny, though. You know, the true part, though, is that, you know, again, I can't imagine going back to South by Southwest at this point. I mean, I enjoyed hanging out with you guys there. I enjoyed what we did there and stuff. But, like, you know.
Yeah, time to move on. Time to move on.
It is really overwhelming. And there's just so many hookers with energy drinks. And I think a lot of them are not even, I mean, some of them are paying to be there. But, you know, there's all those people outside. This happens at any conference. There's lots of people outside who aren't paying to get in. You can tell. And it's just kind of an advanced form of electronic reverse panhandling. You know? Did you ever have to work the booth, Scott?
Yeah, well, when I was at Apple, I had to work the booth a few times.
Whoa, you're where? Cut that out. Did you ever have to work the booth, Scott?
Well, when I was at the paper company, I had to work the booth a few times. And it was fine. It was enjoyable. Answered questions, wear a t-shirt. There are a lot of people sort of milling around, so it was fairly easy to pass off the difficult things to the people you didn't like. And it was fun and easy. So I always enjoyed it. But Merlin, I like what you're saying about the fact that at any given conference, there are a lot of folks who never come inside. So why don't we take the booth to them?
Essentially, it'd be like a hot dog cart or you know, it's like a street vendor, or something. Right. You take it to, you literally take it directly to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to sit there with a wireless mic. You can approach them and maybe in a way that they can't leave.
Right, right.
Now, would we be doing this on our own or on behalf of other people? Would we become a conference meta service reseller, or would we be looking to explore our own vertical space? Do we have a unique offering, or would we be looking to uniqueify the offerings of others?
And am I still wearing the booth costume?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I really do feel like we could certainly provide it as a service, because whatever product we learn to sell, we're going to get good at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the service will just flow from the original product that we come up with to sell. I don't know what that product is. Right now, it's a death-based retro aerobics video.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, your work is deeply inside of a very product-based culture. Like, you use all kinds of expensive equipment all day. Hmm. Now, when I was ever doing anything that had expensive equipment associated with it, like when I was playing the guitar, I spent a lot of time lusting after the next cool product and the next cool thing. Are there a lot of things like that for you that you just kind of drool over still, or have you gotten over that?
I think I need to sign up for an improv class, because I can't think of a damn thing to say right now.
And finally,
what about a red? Have you got a red, Adam? Do you have a red? Isn't red like a thing?
No.
Isn't that like the camera everybody
wants?
No, it's a
camera. It's a camera. Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have a
do
red.
Do you really?
Mm-mm. But yes.
I like that. That's a new improv style. And
I'm learning.
It's good.
I got a camera. I got a fancy camera. It's a Canon. What else you got?
Yeah, the real estate trade show is rough because I don't.
Did you go to a real estate trade show?
I've never told you this story.
Oh yeah, you spoke at one, right?
Well, yeah, actually, I did. I spoke at one, but many years before that, oddly enough, the same conference, the .com that I worked at was a realestate.com. And the guys at the top made a lot of terrible, terrible decisions, blew through $35 million in like 6 months. Oh, and it was just they couldn't make enough bad decisions quickly enough. And one of the things they did, I don't know if you guys have ever worked at a family-owned company, but you know how well that goes. So they acquired a family-based company that made shrink wrap software for real estate agents. They screwed up the project. We had to hire people to redo it, and which works great to take up a project that's supposedly nearly done and then bringing some new people in. And in the rush to get it out, we sent out a product that reformatted your C drive about 20% of the time.
That sounds like a very nice service.
You know what? It's a fresh start. No, it was my job. It was my job amongst other people. And this is hard because I'm small boned. But it was my job to gently try to move people somewhere that wasn't in the booth, where they were very, very angry about their computer.
Hmm.
Like, is a book conference really different from a how to quit your job conference?
You know, book conferences are pretty much the best conferences that I can imagine, because they've got three things that are great. They're very international, because there are all kinds of people from other countries there to buy rights to books, to U.S. books, to take to France and translate it, that kind of thing. It's a mature cultural industry, so there are kind of smart, older people who drink. Mm. And then there's a third thing that's great, too.
Mm-hmm. That's always been my favorite part.
Rule of threes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think the thing that's a little bit, I crack wise about like not being sure what people sell, but sometimes it's a little difficult to understand what the real it is at a conference. And because, you know, usually you call it a conference and trade show. And it's a trade show where this floor full of people who spent just asinine amounts of money to be there. I mean, I don't know how you certainly must know this, that how ridiculously expensive it is to be there. Your booth is $100,000. You pay, I mean, in one case, I have some friends that are at Macworld every year. Things like if you want them to empty the trash can at night, it's $300. You can hire a security guard to watch your booth, but you have to sign a waiver that says they're not responsible if anything's stolen.
Oh, yeah. That stuff is the worst.
It's a total racket.
Yeah. And every single service has a different foreman or yeoman or Joe Charlie who's in charge.
The Joe Charlies are straight out of like some kind of 30s movie. They're like from Our Gang or something. They really are like the idea of like how Roach would want to write a Teamster.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Whoa. Is that a 110 plug? You think you're going to pull that out? Look at this. You see, I got the jacket, I got the bike, I got the walkie. Here's your 20. You get away. You don't touch that plug. Are we there because of the conference, the trade show people? Are we there for the conference where we have to pay to go to these things? Or I think what happens a lot, and I think there might be some vertical space in here, a lot of the reason, and I know you know this, Scott, it's all about those little rooms that you go into to go and cut the deals, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like
talking about bathrooms?
Mm-hmm. They call it a tea room.
Oh. You guys...
Did I say too much?
As I'm saying this, I realize that Adam's probably going to get invited to this, and I'm going to be really upset, like years before we do, Merlin. But what I'm realizing now is that between the three of us, we've been to a number of different kinds of conferences, but we've never been to one of those kind of crazy global elite behind closed doors. Aspen Festival of Ideas, I think it's called, or the World Economic Forum conference. What's that? The Davos
kind of big idea conference. An Al Gore conference. Mm-hmm.
An Al Gore conference. I just feel like that would be the ultimate rounder outer of our conference experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we'd be able to swing an invite.
We definitely have to work some channels. I think, to be honest, Scott, Adam's our only chance for this.
What we could do is we could do that thing where we all stand on each other's shoulders and put an overcoat on.
So we would look approximately 18 feet tall. Yeah. And Scott's holding a finger under his nose. Hello. I have some ideas that I would like to share.
That's a dumb idea. What else? Something else.
That's not a dumb idea. No. If you saw an 18-foot tall guy in a fucking overcoat, you're going to perk up ears. You're going to put down your bag. You're going to listen like a gentleman.
One of us would have to learn to talk like Andre the Giant. Hello. And then no one would understand what we're saying. So they'd be like, well, he must be welcome here.
I think you'd get interviewed a lot by live streamers.
Yep. You got a lot of webcams pointed at you.
I'm here talking with TV's Mustache the Dog.
Hello.
Hello, lady.
Yours is the best. Of course.
Anybody want a peanut?
Man.
You say it's dumb, Adam. That's actually the absolutely perfect way for us to get in. Like, who doesn't love a giant, first?
Sure.
And second, I just feel like that would be a welcome presence in a room full of pantsuits and martinis.
Sure.
Who'd be on the bottom?
I think we all know.
Because I think we have a number of... This is a little bit like one of those, like, oh, you've got to cross the river, but you've got a chicken and a fox and some grain. Like, how will you do it? Because each one of us has really serious physical liabilities where it would be totally inappropriate for any of us to be in any of those three positions.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's an LSAT question.
I think Adam, to me, though, Adam is like the linebacker. Like, he should be at the bottom, like holding us up. He's the strong guy, right?
I'm stout.
No. We need him at the top because he's got the Andre the Giant voice. It's not plausible if it's coming out of the guy's kneecaps.
No. Here's the thing. So Adam is definitely the base because he's got the big shoulders. And then I'm in the middle because I'm just kind of, I can just kind of be the middle. And then Merlin, you're on top. And the way that we do it, though, I'm not exactly sure. I haven't figured this part out yet. But basically, Merlin, you lip sync the words that Adam is saying.
Oh, it seems so obvious now. We work out, how many? Let's say there's no more than 1,400 phrases that we would likely to have to say.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and then we work it out ahead of time. It's like a Turkish, a Turkish mechanic. We just work it out so that we know all the things. Adam is speaking. You're relaying it to me through a series of taps, and I'm able to mouth it correctly.
No, thank you. I have received a fourth conference bag with Meebo on keychain. Good day.
That's the way to do it. And I'll act as the conduit.
And we're European, so nobody's going to say anything, right? Isn't he European? He's from Europe.
You know, Andre, you're a French Frenchman. You speak the French language. Perhaps for some of the people watching, you can give us some of the French.
I'll act as the conduit with the playbook full of codes. So I'll tell you guys simultaneously 1256.
And you can look through the buttons and see what we're facing.
Right. I can look through the buttons, see what we're talking to. Arianna Huffington comes up to us and says, how has your time in Switzerland been?
Anybody want a peanut?
Okay. Let's throw out 1,399 phrases. Everybody loves giants.
You know where we would go wrong is one of those trays of canapes would show up and I would just reach through the buttons.
Three arms would come out. Also, if we had to pee or something, I guess that could be complicated. But think about all the intel we could get. Because if we were literally, well, not eight, you know, Scott, what are you? Like, are you 6'2", 6'3"? How tall are you?
Yeah, well, I'm not quite 6'2".
Okay, so we'd be almost 14 feet tall between the three of us, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because Adam and I are, as you know, from Middle Earth. But the thing is, you would be in the middle. You really are. You're so important. You're the one who's making us tall. We could see into a lot of those booths and see what those fucking douchebags are doing with the contracts. We could do a certain kind of even corporate espionage and maybe share that through our aerobicized death booth. I don't know. I can't come up with all of it.
Oh, boy.
I'd love to be that tall.
Well, now we're done.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
Okay, you're a doctor. You're a doctor and I'm your patient.
Okay, you're ordering a pizza. You're ordering a pizza. Wait for it. And taxi cab.
Hello, doctor.
Oh, hello. What are you doing? What are you doing in Spain?
I ordered it. Who ordered this pizza?
I would be the worst improv person ever. I could never do that stuff. I don't trust other people.
Yeah.
And you're a thinker. That they're going to fuck it all up.
Yeah, I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about me.
You're writing this story, and they're gonna not know how the story goes, and that's what...
That's right. I'll suggest something, and they should understand. When I say pirate ship, that I'm referring to the next seven things, and when they don't take it that direction, I mean, why are there even other people on the stage?
Right. That's really disappointing. They really could have prepped better for that. Don't you think? Maybe the classes they should have had a class in Scott.
I'm just really happy that you guys have been on board to meticulously read out all of these episodes as I've written them over the years. It's been really nice of you to do. I appreciate it.
You know, my wife was in Japan like a week ago or maybe a year.
Wrong page.
So, Adam, do you have a camera?
Yeah, I got a camera. I got a Red. You ever heard of a Red?
How's your mom?
Oh, she's very dead.
Wow. This is we're Charlie Kaufman-ing this thing.
Oh, did we all shift one over?
We're all reading the wrong parts. I'm tired.